Well, this morning we are going to talk about an important topic, and that is instructing the next generation. How important families are. Societies crumble when they turn their backs on the importance of family as the building block for society. So we want to talk about this important topic, especially this morning as we think about us dedicating Royal. And hopefully the others of us remembering the time if we had children, that time when we dedicated them, or we stood as we were dedicating other children in the life of this church. How important it is, the family. There's a passage of scripture, Jesus talks about this. He talks about little children. It's from the Message. The people brought children to Jesus, hoping he might touch them. The disciples shooed them off, but Jesus was irate and let them know it. Don't push these children away. Don't ever get between them and me. These children are at the very center of life in the kingdom. Mark this. Unless you accept God's kingdom in the simplicity of a child, you'll never get in. Then gathering the children up in his arms, he laid his hands of blessing on them. Mark 10, verses 13 to 16. What an incredible task. What an incredible privilege. What an incredible responsibility that we have as individuals and as the church to raise up these little ones that have been entrusted to us. And just so you know, it doesn't end when they come through adolescence. It doesn't end when they move on through their teenage years and move into being young adults and then adults. It seems like there is this there's this responsibility that we have for one another to care and to nurture and to help each other to move forward, moving forward. You know, there's an abundance of advice that is given. You can go to the internet. There's lots of great stuff there. Here is some. If you have a ceiling fan, there's no such thing as childproofing your house. If you hook a dog leash over a ceiling fan, the motor's not strong enough to rotate a 42-pound boy wearing Paw Patrol underwear and a Superman cape. It is strong enough, however, to spread paint on all four walls of a 20-by-20 room. You should not throw baseballs up when the ceiling fan is on. However, if you choose to use the ceiling fan as a bat, you're going to have to throw up several times before you get a hit. When hit just right, a ceiling fan can hit a baseball a long way. The glass in a double pane window does not stop a baseball hit by a ceiling fan. When you hear the toilet flush and the words, uh-oh, it's already too late. As you know already, if you've had the privilege, responsibility of being a parent, it can be tough. We say, you know, people will say there hasn't been a manual written for that. There certainly is the Bible. But it's up to us to apply the Bible to our given situations. And it can be tricky. Navigating under all the different things that come our way. I feel for you as parents. Partly because, I do remember being a parent. It was many, many years ago. But I'm living vicariously through our children and grandchildren, and I'm just quite happy to leave the grandchildren where they are when I go, and when I leave, it's quite all right. I love our grandchildren, and I just know there's lots of energy, and at the end of the day, I just know that parents, you know, our kids just seem to be exhausted. So as I think about our young parents today, as I think about grandparents trying to speak life into those situations, I know that we all sort of walk a bit of a tenuous walk. The Bible is there to help us. It can help us to develop confidence as we raise our children. Proverbs 22, verse 6 is a wonderful place to start, and it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Now, there's a short disclaimer about that statement. It doesn't mean that you can be a perfect parent, do all the right stuff, take them to church, tell them all the stuff a parent should tell them, and they'll turn out to be perfect children. That's not how it works. Often it does, but there is the caveat that we have free will, and a child, a person, will choose as they choose. You've given them everything that you knew possible, including God's Word, and it's up to them to integrate that into their lives, and up to you to continue to pray for them, and it's up to the church to continue to demonstrate the life of Christ. It is a general, though not a universal, promise, and many have found it rewarding when they accomplish it. I've been battling this morning to tell you this or not. Some of you know that one of our kids, since Christmas, has been living a challenged life. He's married, and right now they're in a mode of separation. And he was raised in the church, knows the ways of God, and God is leading him through this, leading them through this. But as a parent, you just need to know that as some of you have experienced this personally, and as some of you have experienced this with your kids, you know, it just kind of stabs you in the heart. It's not that he's done anything wrong. It's just that he's processing life the best way that he can. So thankful that in the years that we had him in our home, as both an infant and as a young adult, or as an adolescent and a teenager, that he learned well the things of God, the best that we could teach him. And God is speaking to him through that. Even in the midst of all the challenges that he faces, God is still speaking to him, and he is still acting in godly ways. Please don't misunderstand me. It's not like he's fallen off the wagon and has drifted off somewhere away from God. It's just that he's trying to find God in the midst of this situation. One of the things that I've never wanted to do is to portray to you that I'm perfect or that we're perfect. As a pastor, sometimes we raise pastors to a level that they should never be raised. There's a certain level of respect for pastors, yes, but we live life and we put on our shoes one foot at a time, just like you. And so we're processing this. And so this passage of Scripture this morning is more than just something that is something out of a book that we read and we internalize it in our head. It's something that touches the deepest part of my heart. And it touches the deepest part of my wife's heart. As we endeavor to live out these words and to help our child, now a young man, live out the words that God has spoken. So what does this passage mean? It speaks about several things. There's the process of Christian parenting. The process that we have is to train a child. The root word means to narrow or to throttle it. You can picture it with your foot on the gas. When you put your foot on the gas, it allows just so much fuel to get into the engine to allow it to go at a certain speed. A throttle or narrowing is something that controls that. Narrowing the focus of what a child learns is very important in today's world than often the popular approach. Just let the child do whatever he wishes and we hope that he turns out okay. You know, we're just going to let our child decide. Usually that ends up in a bad place. It forces children to grow up very quickly, and it creates havoc in a home. Training is the art of bringing along a child in the art of being a person. And that takes, first of all, discipline. Athletes train with varying degrees of discipline. Those who are highly motivated to go to levels of proficiency. those who have low motivation hire a personal trainer. This describes a parent. You are personal trainers of those little lives to which God has entrusted for you to train them. It means that we're kind of like always in the game. We're always just trying to figure it out. We're trying to be one step ahead as God leads us. So this process of being Christian parents requires discipline. And sometimes we can be willy-nilly about that. Just kind of let it go. The second is demonstration. Railroad cars follow the leader. Abraham Lincoln said that for a man to train up a child in the way he should go, he must walk that way first. Trainers have not only been there, mom and dad, they've not forgotten the way. Your children will copy what they see you do sooner than they will heed what they hear from you. A lady was cleaning her house and singing gospel songs as she worked. She began singing, "Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King." Her little son was in the next room and began to sing along with mom. Something was a little off, however, the preschooler's version. "Soon and very soon, we're going to Burger King." There's discipline, there's demonstration, and there's diligence. It requires an alertness by you. As easy as it is, there are those moments when we can fall asleep at the switch. It's not a condemnation, but it is a wake-up call to us that we be diligent in this process of training up our children. Have other people around you that help encourage you to be diligent, to not lose sight of the prize. There's the purpose of Christian training. There's the process and there's the purpose. Proverb writer focused also on the purpose, the substance of being Christian parents. We're to train them in the way that they should go. The way is a word that is used metaphorically to describe a pathway through life. It comes from a root word that depicts stringing a bow. This picture becomes clear when we consider the object of the way. Go is the Hebrew word for mouth, breath, which is the ancient world, was the same as the deeds of a life. The words spoken were deeds done. Put together this phrase, the way he should go, becomes something like bend the bow in the way that you and point it, and eventually fire the arrow. It all comes together sequentially as you move forward. Where you point them is the whole purpose in training them. The proverb writer is saying what is accomplished in training sets the course of a child's life. Most of the things that your child will know as an adult have been learned up to the age of 5. They've learned all of the building blocks for what they need to build their life. So what you're doing during those first 5 years are critical. You think back to Moses and how Moses was with his mother for those years until he was weaned, learning the Hebrew ways. It's remarkable that is the case. We are to, in this purpose, we are to impart intelligence. Intelligence. Imparting wisdom is not the same as knowledge. Knowledge can simply be the combined weight of the internet at your child's disposal. I was reading last night, I was interested in knowing, went to the internet to find it, that children, teenagers, spend almost 40% of their waking hours on devices. It's quite high, as you can imagine. You see why it's not necessary to have these in school. It's important for our kids to learn not having that distraction. And the sooner that we learn that in our civilization, we have thought that it was freeing, and what it's become is a chain around the lives of our little ones. And for some of us in this room, You cannot go hardly 5 minutes without looking at your phone. It has become something that has changed us. And for many of us, we haven't even seen it coming until somebody says, you know what, it'd be good when we go on holidays. Why don't you just leave your phone at home? Or at dinner, just try this sometime. When you come into the dinner table, the phone goes over there, and it's not brought to the table. There is this impartation of intelligence, not just a knowledge dump. The Bible declares that the fear, the reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so we teach them about who God is. And then there's integrity. Training them in the way that they should go certainly include teaching them that there's only one way. Jesus said that about himself. Let's be clear. It does matter what you believe. It does matter how you live. It does matter where you're headed and how you live. That's integrity. There's the process, the purpose, and there's the product of Christian training. Proverb writer says that if the process is following, it's training, and the purpose is understanding the way that he should go, then the product will be that when he is old, he'll not depart from it, or she'll not depart from it. What this seems to mean in this context is that the child will not leave unfinished business when it comes to the important matters of life. If I was to spend time with your little one, or your teenager, or whoever, and just said, you know what, can you tell me what's important in your house? What are some of the important things that you do? What would be some of the important things that you do? You know, I've loved being in some of the homes where we've dedicated some of the children, and what I found is that before the kids go off to school, they have family devotions together. Did you know that happens? That still happens in some of our homes. They have family devotions and they pray together before they go. At night, Dad will open up the Bible, he'll read the Bible, some passage, and he'll lead the family in a prayer time. It's quite amazing. There is something that happens when we live that way. They will not leave unfinished business when it comes to important matters of life. There is something important about having Jesus in our heart and living for him. And that matters in all factors of life, having that right relationship with God. It happens to help us in our marriages. It helps us in our friendships. It happens to help us in our parenting. A child that is trained in the way, the purpose of God for his life, will not leave business unfinished. Does that mean that every child will eventually accept God and serve him well? No, it doesn't. But it stresses the parental responsibility to move in that direction, giving the child every opportunity to be successful. To be successful. Even when the wheels start to fall off. What is your commitment to giving a good answer on that great judgment day? So here are a few checkpoints for us, a few things for us to ponder. When we are training our kids, one of the first important things that we need to know is that, have you come to Christ yourself? Have you made him the Lord of your life? It's challenging to live in a Christian home or to lead a Christian home if Christ isn't number one in your heart. Your kids will know that. You can't fudge that one. That's the first one. To lead your family in a Christian way, you yourself as parents need to be that. Are you investing as much time with your children to train them spiritually as you do in things like dance lessons, t-ball, camping? Not that any of those things are bad. Music lessons. Not that any of those things are bad. But are you investing as much in their spiritual development and leading them and moving them in that direction as you are in making sure that they get to all these other functions? I can say hands down that one of the challenges of our time is that our kids are too busy. You have them in way too many things. I don't know how else to say that. And if I was across the table drinking coffee with you, I would say the same thing to you. The most important thing, I think, is for me, is that I know who Christ is in my life. And the next thing is for my children. Back when our kids were teenagers, we went to a weekend. I forget, it was a... I just know that music was very loud. It was a teen event. Something Alive. Anyways, when we were there, it was really, really loud. But I do remember that at the close of that, we signed a contract that says, be there. What it meant was, as a family, come hell or high water, we're going to be there. Meaning that when the roll is called up yonder, when my life is finished here, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there to meet you. I'm going to be there to wait for you. The cool part is that Julie's mother was grandmother was living with us. She lived with us for quite a few years. And when we came home, we gathered around the table. And so Julie and I and our kids and Oma came to the table, and we all signed that together. What an incredible witness to our kids. What an incredible witness to Oma as she was thinking about these little ones. Oma has gone on to be with the Lord. And I read that document at her funeral, saying that one day, one by one, as the Lord leads us, we'll have the opportunity to be there. May we understand that one of the most important jobs that you have as parents and as a church is to not do anything that would interfere with bringing people to Jesus, especially the little ones. Jesus says, don't do anything to hinder them. For such is the kingdom. The kingdom belongs to such as these. And so we pull back the curtain and we just continue to help these little ones of all ages to make their way to Jesus. That is a priority for us. If you're a parent, or you're a grandparent, you're an aunt, you're an uncle, you're a member of the human race, you have a stake in training up the next generation. It's an awesome responsibility, an awesome privilege. May God help us all to do that. Let's pray. Father God, as we bow before you right now, we're reminded of this passage of Scripture of how important it is to train up a child in the way that they should go. When they're old, they'll not depart from it. We know it to hear it. But this morning, I just want to pray for individuals that would be here that would say, you know what, I need help with that. There's an area of my life that I struggle with. Maybe it is that I've never given my life to Jesus. I want to do that. So first of all, this morning, if you're here and you need help in your relationship with God, you need help as a parent, would you just raise your hand where you are, eyes closed? Raise your hand where you are, and I'll pray for you. Anybody here this morning? Yes. Anybody else? Yes. Yes. Father God, we just lift up these individuals to you this morning as they bring before you themselves. And in that, I bring myself. Father, you know the areas of my life where I need to be more like Jesus. I need to demonstrate more of his love. Lord, you know the areas. Father, that very well may be that there are some here this morning that feel the waywardness of being that son or that daughter who this morning, if they're to calculate it all, they are not nearly as close to you as they want to be. They know the way. They've heard the way. They were taught the way. But Father, somehow in the mix and the milieu of life, they find themselves on the outside looking in. Lord, in the preciousness of this moment, help them just to reach out to you as they know that they must, and plead before you, and to tell you that they love you. And that, Lord, you will right that broken relationship as they invite themselves into that relationship again with you. Thank you for hearing our cry. Thank you for hearing our voice. Thank you for hearing our plea. Thank you for your forgiveness. And help us to live like Jesus, because he's in the kingdom, and wherever Jesus is, we want to be. So just be with us now, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.